of the family with him. And that was expected of us. My father and mother trained us like that. So I'm a little boy. I couldn't do anything. I don't think I was more than maybe about 13 years old. And I'm walking around with my father, walking around with him. And he said to my father, This is real nice, dear Holy Apostle. When are we going to get ours?" And my father did not respond to him. I said several times, speaking, that I got people I know that are working to undermine me. They're right around me. They're working to discredit me. They're not working to destroy me because they know my staying around is their existence right now. Without me, they wouldn't be around either. But they're hoping when I die, they can become the leader. So they don't want you to like me too much because they're going to knock me down. They're going to be ready to knock me down and put themselves up higher after I'm dead. That's what they think. That's what they plan. So I said, I know I got people all around me that's not with me. But I keep them around me. I keep them around me. Why? Because they can make a contribution. If they're making a contribution, they're helping what we're doing, they're contributing to this work. I don't care what they care about me personally. They don't have to like me. Do you have to be in love with the hammer that drives the nails? You want to put something together? No, you have to be in love with the hammer. The hammer does the job. And as long as you don't fear the hammer is going to be animated and hit you over the head, you'll use it and put it up and take it out and use it again when you need it. Well, that's the way I do these people. And I thank Allah for their contribution. But I know their intent. They are not honest. They are not truthful. They are envious. They are people who want to take attention, steal attention from others so they can have more attention to themselves. So I wanted you to be aware of these things. I know many of you are, but I want you to be aware of those things. And now I want to conclude this and say to you that I am happy. I'm very happy. They don't make me sad. I have much more to be happy about than I have to be sad about. I am happy. And this community is growing more beautiful and more beautiful all the time. And we are getting better and better people of character and intelligence all the time. Our professional numbers, the numbers of professionals among us are just growing, growing, and growing all of the time. So I feel very good. And you go back and respect your leaders, even those thieves that I mentioned. Respect them and pick them up when you need them to hammer a nail or cut a piece of wood or whatever. Thank you. And I'm open for questions or comments. Yes, I wish you'd come here to make your question, to give your question or make your comment. Come up here so we all will hear you. Come up here. Walaikum assalam. Which mic is the one that carries the voice? Here, come here.
Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
If you don't mind, can you explain a little bit more about the flowery speakers?
About?
The flowery speakers.
Flowery speakers?
Yes.
Yes, in the Quran, God says, There are those who make flowery speeches, but they have corruption in them. They are not people that mean well. They have bad intentions. They have corruption in them, and we know that. The what's called demagogue in the political world. A demagogue is one that says what he or she thinks you will like, just to get you to give him or her your ears and listen and won't be suspicious of them. So they, to keep you from being suspicious of them, they say whatever you like, whatever they think the audience like, that's what they say. That's a demagogue. And that's when they are using charming language and flattering language and et cetera, that's, they're making flowery speeches.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When you say humorous speeches, it's not good. Sometimes doesn't humor bring draw the audience?
Yes. Next time you listen to me with your right ear also. You listen only with the left ear this time. You should have been listening with that ear too. I did not say that. I did not say that humor is bad.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, I was in Detroit as a guest of one of the messages in Detroit. And the imam said, "Brother Imam, we always have your time and your attention. We have organized the children. Most of them are students of our school. And they're here to really hear you. Says, we want you to speak to our children. And would you have some time to get some questions or have some questions for them?" I said, "Sure, I will. Sure." That time I spent with those students and their friends in Detroit, in my opinion, was more productive in any meeting I ever had there with adults or anybody else. And it was because they were given time to ask questions and make comments. So things came out that I could respond to that helped them but also helped us. I mean, help the adults as well as the youth. Yes.
How's it going?
Walaikum assalam. You're cool, man. You're really cool. You can't live without that cap. Well, you need more help from Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Because I see nothing but a handsome, beautiful guy here. Okay? You don't need to hat cap to make you look good.
What is it?
Look at me.
Oh, my question.
Don't you know I look better if I had on a cap? I got a bald head, gray. If I cover this stuff up, I'll look better. But I think I look pretty good without a cap. I look good without a cap, too.
Uh-huh.
You do, too.
What is the economic impact of CPC outside of the state of Illinois?
What is the economic impact of CPC outside of the city of Illinois? Well, you live outside. You're going to have to tell me that, buddy. You have to tell me that. Where you live?
New Jersey.
New Jersey? What state in New Jersey? What city in New
East
Jersey?
East Orange. East Orange.
You live in East Orange, New Jersey. I've been there several times as a guest of our community in that area. You'll have to ask them what is the impact. You should be asking them. Ask the leaders there. Not me. I'm here in this area. The impact here is great.
All
right. Well, like my man. Well, like my salam.
When you say that God gave us the Torah, it's not forcing us to be a Muslim, can you explain more to that?
They are not hearing you good enough, so repeat it.
You said that God gives us a choice, not forcing us to be a Muslim. Would you explain more of that to me?
God gives us the choice. God gives us our own mind. God made us to think on our own. And we can think any way we want. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if the police was here, you know, and the police said, "You have to agree with everything Imam W. Dean Muhammad said, young man." And maybe you're afraid of police, okay? But the police don't know what you're thinking, does it? You could be saying, "I don't believe not a word that stupid, bald-headed Imam."
Right? You could be saying that in your mind, right? God made you free like that. So you can have your own free choices. God wants us to earn the good life by the use of our own intelligence and good nature. He's not going to make us do it. He's not going to force us to do it. And that includes Islam, too. Thank you. Allah be with you. There's no more. Well, I'm gonna go have breakfast. I didn't have breakfast yet.
Okay.
Welcome, come right up front here and take the mic.
I wanted to ask you, why is it so important to study Christianity?
It's not important to study Christianity if you're not going to be a leader for Islam, for Muslims. But if you're going to be a leader for Muslims in a Christian society and in a world that has been really kind of shaped by Christians more than by Muslims or any other religion, it's very important for us as leaders representing Islam to know much about Christianity. So we'll respect it more, so we'll know how to deal with the people. If I don't know your thinking, if I don't know what's influencing you to be the way you are, to even and respond to me the way you do, then I'm in the dark when I'm dealing with you. Especially if I want to get you to respect me. If I want to have you respect my religion and me, then I should also know your religion so I can respect your religion and you.
For reading the Bible, if you try to read it and you can't really get into it because you can't understand what they, like, the context of it.
Uh-huh.
So how do you go about trying to understand it? When you try to talk to people of Christianity and things like that, and they explain it to you from a biased point of view.
Yeah. Well, what you have difficulty with, and you don't see yourself having a success with it, put it down. Stay away from it. Let others do it, like Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Okay.
Allah be with you.
Alaykum
as-salam. Welcome. Just hold your places. Yes.
I got accepted into your youth ministries and correspondence program.
Yes.
I wanted to know if y'all have made any kind of progress with that and when we'll be hearing about it.
Yes. I'm sorry Ndidi is not here. She's been working with me since we started. I wish she was here to respond to your question. We are getting close to having the study. In fact, we are transcribing, and we have some sessions, some study sessions or lessons already transcribed. We are making progress. We are making progress. But to tell you exactly when we will have the course printed and ready for distribution throughout the community in the United States and even in Bermuda and other places, I don't know. But I believe it will be before school starts again next year, before September next year.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
And we hope to get it out much sooner.
Okay.
All right, you're welcome.
Wa alaikum as-salam. I don't know if you said this or not, but do you like work at a masjid or are you like the top man or something?
No, I didn't get it. Can you speak here too? Speak here, speak into this.
Are you like an imam of a masjid or are you like the top imam or something?
Am I an imam over a masjid?
Yeah.
No. No. I used to have a masjid, and I hope to get one again soon.
Right.
But I'm not a resident imam. That means I don't have a place where I go every Jummah, Friday. No, I don't.
Okay.
You should ask the people, what am I? Ask the people. Ask Muslims, your mother and all of them, your father, your sisters,
my dad,
brothers, your friends, Russia. Your friends who are Muslim, ask them, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael.
Walaikum as-salam.
And you said real believers worship God, not individuals.
Yes.
Can you explain more, like, what is a real believer?
What is a real believer? That expression is in the Quran too. Real believer. The expression is in the Quran. Mu'minuna haqqa. Real believers. Yes. It's in the Quran. What is a real believer, you ask me? A real believer is one that never doubts anything in the Quran and never doubts anything in Muhammad. Never doubt anything in the Quran, because God says, "Tu'minu billah wa rasuli." Believe in God and in His messenger. So a believer, a real believer, is one that never doubts anything in the Quran and never doubts anything in Muhammad.
Thank you.
Yes. We might not understand it, but we don't doubt it. As the Christians are saying, we'll understand it better by and by.
Walaikum as-salam. I have a question. A lot of us in here listen to hip-hop, rap, R&B, all that type of music. I was wondering, do you feel that music is like haram, or like, what is your view on it? Because I know, you know, my parents don't really like me listening to it and stuff like that, but I like it. So I don't know if it's, you know, is it haram or...
Yeah, there is haram in most of the cultural air of America, not just music and song. In most of the cultural air of the West, and maybe a lot of other places, but I know the West, is haram. Most of it is haram. And most of the songs that come out, rap or otherwise, haram. But rap music has more haram than any other. Now, wait a minute, don't leave. I'm not finished. You know, rap means more than one thing, doesn't it? Rap can mean hit knock on the door. Who's rapping on the door? Who's rapping at the door? It can mean knock. In the media world and in the theater, I mean in Hollywood, when they have finished the tape or the recording, that's a rap. I mean, it's finished, right? So rap has many, many meanings. Rap has many meanings. When you go to jail, you're convicted. And you may think you're innocent, and your partnership went on alone. Oh man, I took the rap. So rap has many meanings, you see. Now, if they can rap and vent their anger, vent their vulgarity, their anger first, I said, then vulgarity. The anger makes them want to cuss the world out, makes them want to say nasty things. They get relief. That's therapy for them. Get up and use MF 50 times in 50 minutes and 50 seconds. So that's therapy for them. That's relief. They're relieving themselves. So if they can do that in this free society, why can't we have a good rapper rapping to heal them and get respect?
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
I would like to know if, in order for us to become effective leaders, what are some important steps that we need to take?
In order for us to become
effective leaders in the
effective
future.
Leaders in the future, are there important steps that we should take?
Yes, and what are they?
Yes, many. The first one is to thank God for everything that you enjoy. Even if it's nothing but waking up and feeling good, not sick. First, thank God for everything that you enjoy. That's the first thing. Everything that you enjoy. You know, some people can't be thankful for all the things that they enjoy or they get benefit from. There are people who don't want to like America. And they'll be getting benefits from America. They'll be enjoying a lot of the life and opportunities of America. But they will not be thankful. God says, the enemy of all mankind. He became that way because he was not thankful. That's Shaitan, Satan, the devil. He is the one that is not thankful. And because he was not thankful, he became a kafir, the first of the kafirs, the rejecter of God and truth for mankind. So the first thing and most important thing is to be thankful for all that we enjoy, all the good that we appreciate, all the benefits we get. Be thankful to God. Be thankful to our parents. Sometimes your life with your parent can be so bad that you just want to see nothing but bad in them. But for God's sake, as a believer, look for good even in the worst parent and be thankful for something. First thing is to be thankful. Next thing is to be intelligent. Try to educate yourself so that you'll be better prepared for leadership. I can go on and on and on, but I think that's enough. Be thankful and then educate yourself so you will be better prepared.
Thank you.
Alright. Alaikum assalam. We're waiting.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I thought for a minute trying to answer the question properly.
Yeah, make sure you're speaking here so all of us hear you.
Okay. At the mass shift, there may be young people that teach classes or are asked to teach certain information that the leadership may know. These young people are studying this information, and they may be more versed in this information than older people. And these young people may teach these classes, and the majority of the participants may be older, I would say, the Nation of Islam generation, not that there's any generation gap, but of this generation. And in the classes, there may be slight disrespect, at sometimes outward disrespect, to the young presenters as if they don't know the information that they're presenting. What should young teachers do in a situation like this?
Islam, like Christianity, Judaism, and other religions, I think, put very high importance on respect for the elders or for the aged, those old people like myself. So we don't treat them like we would a person of our age. We take a lot more off of them than we would off a person of our age. We try to respond to their insults or their negativity with kindness. And usually that works. Those that doesn't work on, whisper to the security guard and tell them we got a problem. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, I'd like to ask now.
What's the main purpose of the convention?
Yes. Here, speak here.
What's the
purpose of the convention? Excellent question. Wow. Now, that's an excellent question. What is the purpose of the convention? Well, I hope we hear it at these sessions, because there are a lot of workshops and sessions going on. I hope we are hearing just that answer. Now, and please send the word around that we have to remember in all these workshops and all these sessions to give the purpose of this convention. That's a must. The purpose of this convention is the purpose of the one before it and the one before it, all the conventions. The purpose of the convention is to bring more people together in one place and situation so that we can have more people, the biggest number, the maximum number of people, looking at and hearing what is important for our life and our future in America. That's the purpose. Now, they may give it differently in the other place, but I'm sure that we're going to be in agreement. They may use a different language, but we're going to be in agreement, I'm sure, with those who will be given the purpose of the convention. Some of them say the purpose of the convention, I believe I hear this, the purpose of the convention is to support Imam W.D. Muhammad. True and false. True is to support the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. That's for the good of all the people belonging to this community. But to support me, to have me more popular, or to have people think, oh, he's tough, he's great, he's learned, he's wise. No, that's false.
Is it gonna be here next year?
Will I be here?
Is it gonna be here?
The convention? Oh.
No.
The convention is here at the Hilton right now. But Sunday, the activity will go to the University of Illinois on the Circus Campus.
Next year.
I don't hear.
Next year.
Oh, next year. But he's asking about next year. I don't want to give that. I'm not the one to give that. You'll get that announcement at the convention, not from me. Peace. This young man is something else. Let me tell you. He's an honor student. He has several honors. He's a football player, baseball player. That guy's tough.
Again.
That's my grandson. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you. I get in a lot of debates with the Muslim brothers upon that they believe that the worst Muslim is better than the best non-believer. I mean, non-Muslim.
Yes, Muslim.
The worst Muslim is better than the best non-Muslim.
You tell them you heard this from me. That's bullshit. And tell them exactly what I said.
Okay.
know what exactly are the jinns.
What are?
The jinns.
Oh, yes. Yes, her question is exactly what are the jinns? In the Quran, we have translation in English, the jinn race, R-A-C-E. So two groups are given in the Quran. One, the human group, or the human race, and the other, the jinn group, or as it has been put in English by a translator, the jinn race. Now, how much do we know about jinn? Maybe not too much. But one thing we know is that jinn takes the form of human beings. And I never heard mention in the Quran. I read the Quran many times from beginning to end. And I never read the jinn being seen or observed or known to be in any but a human body. A person's body. And according to my understanding of the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, as reported in the Hadith, the collection of his teachings and works, I can't recall anything in Hadith that says jinn is anything other than a human being, or comes in any form other than a human form. Jinn is not a human being, but comes in what appears to be a human form. Comes in these bodies we have, no other body. A jinn won't come in a cow. A jinn won't come in your dog. Your dog starts howling at you, sounding and growling at you, got strange behavior. Call the police or a doctor. A dog doctor, animal doctor. Not a man. Okay. In the Quran, we read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. Seek Allah's protection from the sneaking whisperer who whispers into the hearts of people. And it goes on and on. I'm not giving all the translation. Where is he? He's from among jinn, and he's from among people. From among jinn and people. So here are the two groups mentioned that we should seek protection from this deceiving one that takes the form of who is seen as people, but who's also seen as jinn. As jinn. Now, people, who do we think of as people? The word nas in Quran, and nas, it means sociable, civilized people, society. It means them. You will never see the word nas used negatively or find it used negatively in the Quran. It will always maybe be addressing the shortcomings of people, but never will it put people down in that form or in that name. So, and nas is civilized society. That's what nas means. And jinn can sneak in, can come in the form of one belonging to civilized society. But jinns are usually found among savages and people that don't like orderly society. There, the jinns will have the bodies, the human bodies, of those that like violence, destruction, disorder, like to tear down government, tear down order. So the jinn will usually be found among the destructive, rebellious ones who rebel against the order of society. But they can also get into people who are among the good ones, the social ones, the good ones. The jinn can even be in the company of the followers of the Prophet. Solomon in the Quran, Sulaiman in Arabic, Quranic Arabic, Sulaiman. Solomon it said that he had in his army, not in his army only, but he had among his chiefs of the army, like Colin Powell, chief of staff he was, you know. He had among his chiefs of the military, Jen. Said, and one of the Jen volunteered that Solomon wanted to get Sheba's throne, Queen Sheba's throne. And one of the Jens volunteered to tell him how he could get it right away. And Solomon didn't accept his advice because it was unethical. It was not becoming of a man of high and noble character like Solomon. So he refused to accept this Jens' advice. He didn't say the Jen was wrong. The Jen said, I can have a throne here for you within the time to take you to bat your eye. But Solomon didn't accept it because it was not by honest and decent means. So here was a Jen. Now that Jen was in his staff. He must have been appearing as a staff member if he was not, right? He was one in the Allah says in the Quran, you know, that he was one in the staff of King Solomon. So if he was there, he must have been in human form, appearing to be human like everybody else. So you want to understand exactly what a jinn is. A jinn is one that believes he should do what he wants. He should be the judge of what he does. And nobody should take that authority from him. There are a lot of jinns.
What I'm going to ask another question.
Yes.
I just want to see what, hereafter is.
Well,
just Muslims being hereafter or?
Muslim what?
Well, just the Muslims being the hereafter or?
Oh. She asked about the hereafter, the promised future when all this creation is done. Will Muslims be the only ones in the hereafter? Will the Muslims be the only ones in heaven? Muhammad the prophet said he saw, God blessed him to see heaven. He wasn't the first prophet that was blessed to see heaven either. Peace be upon them. But he was blessed to see heaven. God showed heaven and hell to more than one prophet. And he showed it to Muhammad too. Peace be upon them. And Muhammad said that he saw the followers of Moses and the followers of Jesus Christ in heaven with Muslims.